Do you want to ride your bike, or do you want to learn how to train so you can really ride your bike?
It's all about building fitness. Get your legs spinning and get your heart pumping. It's not about training what you're good at. It's about training what you're not good at. They'll want to know what you've been doing for the last few months because you'll be kicking their ass. This is exactly how you get ahead. This is exactly how you get stronger. I'm giving you the tools you need to be a beast on two wheels. If you do the things I'm talking about, you'll be stronger, you'll be fitter, you'll be faster, and everyone around you will notice the difference. This is Tailwind Coaching, and you're listening to the Tailwind Coaching Podcast.
Okay, everybody, welcome to another edition of the Tailwind Coaching Podcast. I am your host, Coach Rob, and I've got a good show for you today. We're going to talk about setting SMART goals and the SMART goal setting paradigm. But first, I'm back from a lengthy hiatus, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 3.5 to 4 weeks. By the time this goes up, I'm probably going to be close to 4 weeks since I've actually done a podcast. That is because of a couple of different things. Number one, obviously, the holidays hit us and hit us all pretty hard. It was a pretty hectic time of year, and I was very pleased to get a podcast out about planning your season. I have been on hiatus for a little while, mainly because I have been working on upgrading my podcast studio and my office. I'm trying to go away from using my MacBook as my podcast station. I'm moving to a Mac Mini with a sort of a dedicated setup, a dedicated office or a studio setup so that I can really record sort of on the fly, record as I need to, record frequently, what have you. So that's one of the reasons I have been a little bit incognito here for a while. The other reason I've been doing a lot of writing, been doing a lot of researching, a lot of work in my own my chiropractic office, looking at a few different techniques and things like that, and doing things to really set up a couple of interesting and what I think are going to be sort of game-changing paradigms in the year 2014 for all of my my listeners, for all of my the athletes that I coach, and all of you who I provide plans to. But first, before I get into the meat of today's show, which, as I said, was the SMART goal-setting paradigm, I've had a lot of questions about setting your goals since the last podcast that I did, the Planning Your Season podcast, which came out mid-December. I've had a lot of questions about that. That's why we're doing a goal-setting podcast here right after the fact. Maybe a little bit late for those of you who are already in your training mode, but it never hurts to reassess or reevaluate your goals as you go through a season anyway. But first, before we get into that, like I said, a little bit of housekeeping. I want to remind all of you, I brought on a couple of sponsors for the show and for Tailwind Coaching. Road ID, great company. Peace of mind with a Road ID never ever hurts to make sure that you are protected. If for some godforsaken reason something happens to you while you're out on the road, wearing a Road ID will give your loved ones peace of mind that they will be able to get find out what happened to you, and first responders will be able to find your loved ones and inform them that you are either A-okay or in need of some kind of assistance. And of course, competitive cyclist, I've said it many times in the past, I am a local bike shop kind of guy. I love to support my local shop, but if I have to shop online, I typically will go through competitive cyclist. They have a really, really excellent selection of materials. They have a really excellent selection of bikes, components, and clothing. Top-notch customer service, and very, very, very good staff. actually had to talk to them very recently about a headset for a frame that I am building to race, and had no idea what the headset was, and about 15 minutes of online chat time, and they had given me all the specs, whether or not I purchased it through them or not. They gave me all the specs that I needed to purchase that headset. So, if you're in need of something for this season coming up, if you're looking for a new racing bike, if you're looking for a new mountain bike, if you're looking for clothing, components, or other parts, head on over to Competitive Cyclist. Remember to click through from my website. Upper right corner, you'll see our sponsors, a little pane that has our sponsors in it. Remember to click through there, and that'll be how you help to support the Tailwind Coaching Podcast, helps pay for bandwidth and storage and all that kind of good stuff. Okay. Next thing, remember, training plans available, Bat and Kill. If you're not training for Bat and Kill, why? You are in deep, deep, deep doo-doo if you have not started training for Bat and Kill and you are expecting to go up there and do well. At this point, you may complete it, but I sincerely doubt you're going to do very well if you're not training yet. But my Bat and Kill plan is still available. It's $70 this year. I added 2 more weeks to it, so it's become a harder plan. It's become a plan that is even more specialized for the race, the Tour of the Bat and Kill. It will also work for the Fondo, so keep that in mind. If you're looking at the Fondo and you're looking for a little bit of a jump start, you've got your base done, but you need some intensity, go ahead and go over to my training plans page and check that out. I am working heavily on my Criterium module. That should be released. Unfortunately, I have to keep setting it back. I keep revising, and with the new training plan module system that I'm working with, it's taking a little bit longer to edit than I would have expected. Look for that in the coming month or so. Those of you who are looking to race crits, those of you who are Aussies are probably already racing crits. Those of you in the Northern Hemisphere, I know I've got a lot of you in jolly old England, and I've got a fair number of you in the United States, particularly the northeast of the United States. Keep watch for that plan. You'll be wanting to pick up that module if you're racing crits and throw it in there in maybe a month, maybe 2 months' time, actually. So keep watch for that. As always, for those of you who are loyal listeners to the podcast, you can always take 10% off of any of my training plans, any of my high-intensity trainer workouts, or pretty much anything on the website that is available for digital download by using the code PODCAST10, PODCAST10, no spaces. That'll knock 10% off your total. In other news, I have been training. Been on the rollers quite a bit, been on the trainer quite a bit, and I've been doing quite a lot of kettlebell work. Kettlebells are kind of an interesting creature. They actually have seemingly done a great job of building endurance, muscular endurance, and strength over the winter. Working twice a week with a certain kettlebell routine, and been doing exceptionally well with that. It's a great complement to cycling. I would advise you guys to go check it out. I don't have anything currently in terms of kettlebell workouts, but I am very, very heavily considering putting together some kettlebell stuff. It's really, really a great complement to cycling. So keep an eye on that in the future, but it's just something that I've been after. I've also been using recently a Fitbit Force, which is basically a three-axis pedometer, accelerometer, etc., to give some insight in diet, daily movement, and things like that. I've been big into movement in my chiropractic office as of late, and I think that is going to be the way cycling medicine and coaching and training will be going in the future. That's just my opinion, but there is going to be a huge, huge market for that, and I've been really trying to develop a cycling-specific movement paradigm, both for my office and for my athletes. So using the Fitbit has been very interesting. It's a great little gizmo. I'll probably do a review on it sometime in the near future, but it's a great little gizmo that it really gives you a lot of insight into the amount of movement you do in a day and how your how your sleep, actually this one tracks sleep, I'm using the force, how that your sleep quality, et cetera, will compromise your recovery and things like that. So very, very cool little gizmo. I advise you to check out fitbit.com for more information on them and look for a review coming up real soon. So all that out of the way, let's get to the topic of today's show. We are going to talk about goal setting and using the SMART goal setting paradigm right after I take a quick break for to just wet my whistle a little bit. All right, guys, let's talk about SMART goal setting and a SMART paradigm for setting your goals. If you recall, back in my last podcast, we talked about planning your season, and goal planning was glossed over fairly quickly, but it really is one of the most important parts of planning your season, and really it should not be overlooked in any circumstances. But as you recall from our last podcast, 3 to 4 goals per season is perhaps your main and number one objective. Too many goals in a season, as we talked about before, can really cloud your planning, can really make your training very, very difficult to plan, and it can be very difficult to effectively hit peaks and carry out build cycles and things like that with a really heavily goal-laden season up ahead, okay? If you refer again to my last podcast, you will note that I had talked about your goals should really be your A-level events. For those of you who are racing, those are going to be your A-level races, your big races. For those of you who are just Fondo riders or what have you, that is going to be essentially your biggest, most important Fondo event. If you're racing Grand Fondo, if you're riding Grand Fondo New York, perhaps that's your A-level event. That's one of your goals, okay? But there's a huge problem with just saying ride Grand Fondo New York or riding the King Ridge Classic or Levi's Grand Fondo, whatever it is, or riding the King Challenge out in for Ted King, whatever it is, or the whatever the one with Dempsey is, or the Dempsey Challenge, I don't know. Whatever your goal may be, don't just set a goal. Set a SMART goal. Now, if you're looking at this on the website on Tailwind Coaching, tailwind-coaching.com, you will see that there's a graphic illustrating the SMART principle, S-M-A-R-T, specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time constrained. These are the parameters by which you should be setting any and all of your goals, not just your A-level goals, but if you have like weekly or monthly or block-specific goals, these should be also set in that SMART paradigm. But what is SMART in terms of goal setting? Well, we're going to take it letter by letter, and the first letter that we're going to deal with is S. S essentially stands for a specific kind of goal. Okay, a specific kind of goal is something that is a very directed set of plans, a very directed set of conditions which are required for achieving them. Anytime you are talking about setting a specific goal, you need to really ask yourself a couple of questions. You need to ask yourself what a reporter or a magazine writer or something else may call the 6W questions. All right. A good example of those is the who, what, where, when, why. And it should be the 5Ws, shouldn't it? I'm looking at my podcast notes and I screwed that up there. It's actually the 5Ws. Who, what, where, when, and why are going to be your 5 questions that you're needing to ask yourself when you're trying to set a goal, a very specific goal. The best way to illustrate this is to give you an example. So, a general very, very, very general kind of goal for somebody who is racing, particularly somebody who is not racing for the first time, but somebody who is who has been racing or is a racer or considered a racer, would be a very general goal, maybe win a race in 2014. Okay? That's really, really way too broad. There's no time constraints to nothing. There's nothing to it. Win a race in 2014. All right? You need to be much more specific. And I'm going to jump ahead here for just a moment. We can come back to this in, or you can come back to this point here and mark it down on here, 15 minutes and 35 seconds in. Come back to it after you've gone through the whole podcast. Win a race in 2014 is a very, very broad goal. There is no who, what, where, when, or why. And interestingly enough, that each one of these goals, each one of these parameters for SMART goal setting, you can apply the whole SMART principle to each one of these principles, okay? So it not doesn't only run as one set of principles, but you can apply the principles to each one of these single principles to make sure your goals are extremely well-defined. So we've got the general goal of win a race in 2014. That has no time constraint to it. Is it attainable? We don't know. Is it relevant? I certainly hope so. but there is also no who, what, where, when, or why involved in there. Why is a very tough question. Why almost, jumping ahead here, goes to the relevance portion of SMART goal setting. But it is always something you want to ask yourself when you're looking at specificity anyway. So how do we take that goal of win a race in 2014 and make it a specific goal? Well, we simply say that I, if this was myself speaking, this is not one of my goals, by the way. However, I'm going to, in effect, pretend that it is. I am going to place top three. Who? I? What? Place top three. Where? The New Jersey State Criterium Championships. When? In August. And why? Because I would like to be on the podium. All right, so in short, we go from winning any race in 2014 to I am going to place top three in the State Crit Championships, the New Jersey State Crit Champs, in August of 2014. That's a very specific goal. And that very specific goal now directs you to go to your planning worksheet and notate that would be your A race. If that's a goal, that's your A race. That's what you need to work around. So we see how it all really ties in very, very nicely. So the second part of the SMART paradigm, after we've gone through specificity, we need to make sure that that goal is measurable. Okay? We need to essentially establish a very concrete set of criteria for measuring the goal. Or in the case of a very long-term goal, perhaps you have a very end-of-the-season goal, you need to measure progress towards each goal that you set. A very important part of goal setting is being able to revisit them during your season and revise them as necessary. Maybe a crash takes you out of commission for your early season and you have to revise some of those goals. You need to be able to have a set of criteria that you can evaluate your progress towards all of your goals by using. All right, good examples of how to determine if something is measurable and a good way to establish a concrete criteria is to use numbers. Numbers, very common. Places, minutes. Beware of using power numbers as goals. I have spoken to a number of athletes in this offseason who all, for some reason or another, have come up with power numbers as goals. Off the top of my head, for example, if you want to reach 300 watts at threshold, beware of things like that. Okay, I've seen it plenty of times. These kind of goals, when set, almost always end in heartbreak. Power numbers themselves are very difficult to predict. You may or may not even be able to hit that threshold number. A lot of it will really depend on your individual physiology, how experienced you are as a cyclist, how many years of base training you've done, how many years of training you've done. Some people just will never hit 300 watts of threshold. They may be 110 pounds. They may have a power to weight ratio, which is completely out of the box, off the charts, ridiculous. But they may never, ever hit 300 watts at threshold. Therefore, it's pretty bad idea to use wattage as a goal. Okay, they are sort of irrelevant. More relevant would be a watts per kilogram, a wattage per kilo. So that would be a stepping stone towards another goal. If you want to raise your power at threshold to 3.5 watts per kilo, that's using power numbers as a stepping stone towards a goal which you have a little more control over between mass and power production. Okay, giving examples of a poor goal in terms of measurable. Good example: place in a race in 2014. You can place anywhere in a race in 2014. You can place dead last in a race in 2014. It doesn't tell you much. Okay, to make it a concrete, very measurable criteria, you need to quote, just like we did, place top three in the state crit championships. Much better goal. And again, you can apply the measurability concept to the specificity of your goal as well. So you can check your paradigms across each other. Keep that in mind as we progress here. I'm going to take a quick moment to grab a drink of water, and I'll be right back after this. We'll cover attainable, relevant, and relevant? We'll cover attainable, relevant, and time-constrained parts of this paradigm, and we'll also discuss about the difference between goals and objectives. So I'll be back in just a moment. Okay, we've covered the S, we've covered the M part of the SMART paradigm. So in other words, we have covered the specificity portion. We've covered the measurability portion of the paradigm. We're going to move over to the attainability portion of the paradigm. So not only do your goals need to be specific and measurable, they have to be attainable. And a lot of people will think this is common sense, but it's amazing how many folks don't seem to set goals that are attainable. Okay, attainable goals are very simply things that are a challenge to you. Okay, it's something that is a difficult proposition for you. However, it is achievable. All right, attainability basically is telling you that every other paradigm that you've gone through, it's worth going through because you can do it. Okay, if your goals are just flat out of the box and not attainable, why are you even bothering to set them as goals? If it's not attainable, it's not really worth your time. And don't confuse attainability with something that you have to overreach for. Okay, there's absolutely nothing wrong with overreaching as a goal or overreaching for a goal. But if a goal is completely unattainable, you're going to get nothing but heartbreak from it, and you're just going to be utterly miserable because you'll never be able to achieve that goal. Okay? Another way to look at attainable would be to consider, is it achievable? And a perfect example of that, a very bad, bad goal for 99.9% of people, in terms of attainability, would be to race professionally in 2014. Is anybody else laughing at this? And you would think, yeah, you know, most people probably wouldn't set that. I do frequent a lot of cycling forums, and I don't post much anymore, but I do tend to lurk quite a bit. And there are a lot of people out there who really, really, really want to be professionals. Younger folks, mostly early teenagers, middle teens, things like that. And they're always asking questions about, what do I need to be a pro? What kind of power do I need? What kind of bike do I need? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And to be honest, it never works, okay? It's never happening for most of you. So a very good attainable goal for your average racer, maybe somebody who raced last season, just started racing or whatever, a good attainable goal would be upgrade from Cat 5 to Cat 4 in 2014. For most of us, for most people who are out racing, that would be a very, very attainable goal. Okay, maybe a season-long goal, but it certainly would be attainable. For those of you who are Fondo riders, don't expect to do a four-hour century, okay, with maybe 5,000 feet of climbing. You might be able to do a four-hour century with 1,000 feet of climbing. Is it the Seagull Century, the Twin Lights Century down here in coastal New Jersey, which I think has 1,000 feet of climbing in 102 miles or something like that? That may be a very attainable four-hour century. Don't expect to do Grand Fondo New York in 4 hours. It's not even close to attainable. Pick something realistic. For those of you who have been racing in the past, for those of you who have been doing Fondos or been doing things in the past, look to your past times, your past achievements and accomplishments, and build off of that. For example, when I rode Grand Fondo, New Jersey, I set a very conservative goal to complete the entire Fondo in under 3 hours, and the entire 60 miles in under 3 hours and 45 minutes, as well as placing in the top five, I believe it was, of each of the two climbs that we did. And I did make both of those goals. They're both attainable. Very, very conservative, really very conservative kind of goal setting. However, it did provide some impetus to ride that and to just to enjoy it. Okay. So, a little more water here. A very good attainable goal would be something that you build on from a previous season. So do better in that Fondo. Place one or two spots better in that big race, okay? Moving to relevance. Relevant goals are those which have meaning to you, okay? Relevance really, when you put it very plainly, relevance should be one of the driving factors behind your goal setting, okay? In other words, you really need to set a goal that means something to you, not to other people. I find this happens very, very often when you have a bunch of guys riding for the same team, and maybe a team manager or the other people in the team set a goal of winning a race or placing top three in a race. Maybe that race doesn't mean anything to you. Maybe you just really don't care. Maybe you're just there to help out the team. That should not be a goal for you. It is just not relevant to you. So why would you bother with it? Okay. A good case, a good example of a goal that is poorly relevant, well, again, would be the team manager telling, I want somebody to place in this, when you have really no interest in that race. Okay. Relevance on a very personal level. Win a time trial when you're a Fondo rider. If you're not a time trial rider, most of the time you don't have any interest in winning a time trial. If you're starting to race, perhaps, and you want to start racing TTs, you definitely want to change that goal from winning a race to race whatever time trial on whatever time and day and you know, finish in a certain time. Okay, a very good relevant goal, especially for people who are looking to expand, maybe to try road racing. or to try crit racing, or to try TTing, especially if you are a different kind of racer. You're a crit racer, a time trialist, a track rider, whatever. So relevant goals are basically just things that have meaning to you and interest to you. And those are things that you really need to consider when you're setting your goals. Again, there's no point in setting something that doesn't mean anything to you. You'll have no motivation to complete it. So we are SMAR. We're just missing the T. And the T ties in very closely to the measurable part of this paradigm, and that is time constrained. All right. All of these concepts and all of these goals are kind of useless if you do not have a goal which is time constrained. Time constrained is very simply a goal that you set a specific timeline for which you have to complete it. So for example, don't sit there and say when you're setting your goals, I'm going to do something X, Y, or Z by the end of the season. You have to really mark down a date, and you have to stick to that date. Otherwise, again, you will have very, very poor motivation towards completing that goal. Anytime you say, by the end of the season, by the end of the day, by the end of the week, by the end of the month, that gives you carte blanche to procrastinate and basically sit around on your tuchus doing nothing. Okay? And you really need that date to plan your season, plan your training, plan X, Y, or Z. So, a bad example of a time-constrained goal this could actually be for anybody when I think about it. I'm looking at my notes and I have on here, if you're a time trialist, honestly, I think this goal is a great goal for a lot of people, because it really leads to, it doesn't necessarily have a power-based or numbers-based goal, power numbers or a heart rate or anything like that. But a bad example is, by the end of the season, I will be able to complete a 25-minute, 10-mile time trial. That time frame sucks by the end of the season. Much, much better and holding you much more accountable would be saying, by August 15th, I will be able to do a 25-minute 10. Okay? And as an aside, yeah, that 25-minute 10 is a really, really great test of your fitness and really great test of your capacity to perform on the road or what have you. 25-minute 10-mile, you're talking about 24 miles an hour, somewhere in that neighborhood. So that's a pretty significant goal. And especially if you're a TT rider, a track rider, that's a great goal for a track rider, especially for the longer scratch races and things like that. It's a wonderful, wonderful goal for those of you who are crit riders. Most criteriums are anywhere between 30 and 50 minutes. So being able to really pour it on at a high pace for 10 miles, 10 laps, 12 laps, whatever the case may be, that's a very helpful, it's a very helpful thing, okay? That 25 minutes is will basically take you through most entry-level crits and make sure that you are really, really fit for it. So, very interesting goal, and I just happened to think about that as I was looking at my notes here. So, a little nugget of training information for you in a goal-setting podcast. So now that we've gone through our SMART paradigm, specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-constrained goals, I have to make a footnote here, and that many, many people talk about goals and objectives during a season. When I talk about goal setting or objective setting, there is a very, very large difference between the two, a very specific difference. They're not the same thing, okay? Objectives do not necessarily have to be or have to follow that SMART paradigm, okay? Objectives may be something as simple as raise my threshold power by 10%, or another objective, one which I kind of like, actually, after listening to Pat Bulger on the Pack Filler podcast. He had a goal, I believe it was this past year for 2013, to take the start line of 20 races or 20 events, whatever, you know, whatever have you. 20 start lines, 20 events, whatever. That's a very good objective, okay? It gives you, you know, that raise your threshold power by 10%, or an objective may just be to get out and, you know, meet 10 new riders, 10 new people to ride with, or as much as I hate it as a training tool, an objective may be to finish one Strava contest or whatever they call them, Strava challenges, whatever they are. Maybe that's one of your objectives, or one of your season objectives is to just complete two Strava challenges, okay? The idea of an objective and where it differs from a goal. An objective really is a season-long measuring stick. Your goals will fall along that objective, okay? So objectives really are sort of the big picture. I want to do, for example, if we talk about my own season planning, one of my objectives is to hit, is to race at least 12 times, at least a dozen times. I set my goals among those 12 races. So I go through and I find specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-constrained goals within that I want to race 12 times this year. And objectives, typically, when I have somebody set goals, set objectives, especially in when I do consults with people, this is a great way to explain it. As I do consults with somebody, I'm not looking to get them to set goals per se. I don't get them to set goals until we start talking training plans, okay? An assessment or a consult is merely about getting somebody to set their objectives and make their objectives known. Many, many times, in fact, more times than I can count, the objectives that I hear from people are, I want to do better in my group rides, I want to raise my threshold power, I want to be doing a couple of these different events this year. All right. And those are wonderful objectives. They are season-long, they're a season-long measuring stick for you to evaluate your progress and for you to set goals along with some kind of pattern, some kind of relevance, okay? Objectives are a great way to cover the relevance portion of the SMART paradigm, all right? So keep that in mind when you're setting your goals and your objectives. Start off by setting objectives. So again, I want to do 12 races this year. Now I'm going to go through and I'm going to set goals based on that objective. I need 3 A races, I need 3 B races, and I need 6 C races. So there are my 3 major goals for the season. There are my stepping stone goals, which lead me toward my objective. And suddenly, planning becomes a whole lot easier. All right, that's pretty much all for this edition of the Tailwind Coaching Podcast. Again, if you like what you hear, head on over to iTunes. There's always a link on the website, tailwind-coaching.com. If you're listening to this from a post, you will find that link to iTunes. Head over to iTunes, rate the podcast 5 stars. The more 5-star ratings I get, the more people will hear the information and the higher I will get in the rankings and more people will be able to see it. I love getting information out there to people. I've got a lot of great stuff coming up in 2014. And I want as many people as possible to see that, okay? Remember to head on over to the sponsors. I want to thank Road ID again for sponsoring the Tailwind Coaching Podcast. I want to thank Competitive Cyclist for sponsoring the Tailwind Coaching Podcast as well. Head on over there. If you're looking for something, pick something up from Competitive Cyclist. If you're looking for peace of mind for your loved ones, pick something up from Road ID. And keep the rubber side down out there. I want you to all be safe. I want you to be happy. I want you to get strong. I want you to be well. Plan your seasons properly, and I will be talking to you very, very soon.